This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3289 for Thursday the 11th of March 2021. Today's show is entitled, Nextcloud the Hard Way. It is hosted by Ken Fallon, and is about 32 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, a private Nextcloud instance on a Pi4x8, with Let's Encrypt and WireGuard VPN access.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. Today, installing Nextcloud the hard way. And the reason it's the hard way is because I made some decisions that made it hard for myself. I also ran into some stuff that I was just unlucky enough to run into, I guess. One of the first decisions that I made was that I would run my Nextcloud instance behind my firewall. I have three different networks, but this is on the Wi-Fi network that the kids' Chromebooks and my wife's laptop and the general house Wi-Fi network connects to, which means it doesn't have a public-facing IP address. That's not to say I didn't want their mobile phones and other devices to be able to connect to it when they're out on the road, but that was thing number one that was going to cause me a problem. Thing number two is that I'm not using a pre-built Docker image or a pre-built SD card image of Raspbian or something dedicated to running Nextcloud. I deliberately am doing this because I want the computer that I'm running it on to be my computer, that I understand what's going on. It's as much a learning exercise for me as anything else. Without further ado, let's start. Thing number one that I did was I ordered the hardware and I got a 8 gig Raspberry Pi 4 and 128 SSD card, and then a 64 gig SD card I had lying around to burn the OS image. And the idea here is you burn the Raspbian image on the SD card and then you clone it over to the SSD flash drive. Some gotchas that I had was that the SSD solid state device that I had wasn't recognized, and James A. Chambers has a good write up there on how to get them recognized. Eventually it was recognized as a regular USB attached storage, which would not be as fast as other options that are available, but it still gave me faster speeds than I would be having a SD card booting. Plus, it's also more reliable storage. So that's the reason I went on there. Links in the show notes to that. Second link I'll point you to is the steps that are necessary in order to boot a Raspberry Pi 4 from USB solid state drive. That's from Tom's Hardware. When I did my HPR 2356 safely enabling SSH with a default Raspbian image and then subsequently the Ansible show, I already had updated my image. I downloaded my image and updated it with Ansible and installed all the tools that I want installed on the default Raspbian install within the house. So a lot of these steps weren't necessary for me, but what Tom suggests is update, full upgrade, and Raspberry Pi upgrade, and then do a Raspberry Pi EEPROM update-DA, and do a Raspberry Pi config. Well, when I checked all this, I had the latest EEPROM. He will go through the steps there to show you how to boot from that, and then you select boot from a USB drive in the boot options. You don't reboot at that stage. You exit the Raspberry Pi config tool after you select USB boot, and then you use the SD card copier, which is in accessories. You first plug in your external solid state disk, and then you do the card copier, and that'll be from dev mmcblk0 to the dev sda probably. You do not select new partition UUIDs, so that everything's just copied over nicely. So that all works out swimmingly. Once you shut down your computer, you power it off, then you take out the SD card, and hopefully it'll boot from the external solid state drive. The only thing you'll notice is that it's faster. So now we have the hardware installed. Now we need some software in order to serve up Nextcloud. Nextcloud is a PHP application, so we need a web server that supports that. I chose Apache, you might choose Nginx. And it also needs a database. You can use SQLite, but you are strongly advised not to. So the most supported one that I could see was MariaDB, and that's the option that I chose to go with. If you check the show notes, you'll find the installation commands that I used in order to install it. But to be honest, I would probably follow the Tech Republic article, How to Install Nextcloud 20 on Ubuntu Server 20-04, as it gives a simpler overview than what I'm about to do. So the steps are to install Apache 2, MariaDB server, some libapache2 mod PHP, PHP modules, and some additional zip modules, XML, etc., that are needed for that. I went to the additional stage of installing PHP myadmin as well, in order to be able to use a graphical tool. As I'm not going to be on the internet with this, I wanted just a little bit more convenience, and PHP myadmin does that for me. One thing that I did do was run MySQL secure installation, which will give you the option to add a new password. So I did that and added that to my password manager, which is KeePassXC. And then in the Tech Republic article, they show you how to log in, create a database called Nextcloud. Then they created a user called Nextcloud with a password. They granted privileges to that user, and then they flushed privileges in order to enable it and exit. I did exactly the same thing, but instead of doing it that way, I did it via PHP myadmin. No major change, really. I used system control stop apache2.service, system control start apache2.service, system control enable apache2.service, and system control status apache2.service. These things you use for regular other services as well, so you can also use it for MariaDB and the like. So the next step then was to download the Nextcloud zip file, which I did, and I verified the signature of it. And the install goes into var /www/html/nextcloud. And I would actually advise you to follow the Tech Republic article here in how they did it. They created a Nextcloud config in sites available with some settings. And then they created, they used A2EN site Nextcloud to enable it, A2EN modules, so Apache 2 enable modules, rewrite header, env, dir, and mime. And they changed the PHP memory limit. I did the same thing, but in a more roundabout way. One of the things I did wrong was creating a backup of the Nextcloud config file in the Nextcloud directory, which made it more difficult to update the Nextcloud config, because I got an error occurred while checking server startup, or it may have been when a backup during the upgrade, the backup process failed because it didn't have permissions for that file, because that file was created by the root user and not the www-data user. but I'm probably confusing you. So just doing a diff of the original that I kept somewhere else and what it is now, I see that I've added the host name, you know, the local host name of my Nextcloud server. I've added the IP address and I've added the fully qualified domain name that is accessible on the internet. But Ken, you said it wasn't accessible on the internet. We'll get to that in a minute. Some other things that have been that I added later on was memcache.local, which is OC memcache ACU, which is one of the error messages or one of the recommended improvements to increase caching on the system that you get later on. I also took the opportunity here to increase the php.ini instead of 512 from what they have done there, from up to 512, I went from 128 up to 2 gigabytes, so 200M. I didn't go 2056, because when I did that, that particular value, not anything lower or higher, causes a bug whereby the error occurred while checking server setup. So when I undid that, proved to be okay. So I changed the max upload size up to 2 gigs, so 2048 meg, and then I restarted all the services: system control restart Apache 2 service, system control status Apache 2 service, and that doing restarting Apache that way actually caused me some problems later on. So I believe the best way to restart Apache is user sbin Apache 2 control start, stop, or restart. So Apache 2-T will test the file, but more about that anon. So at this point, I have Apache running, I have MySQL running, and I got PHP MyAdmin running. I've got the Nextcloud config installed in the Nextcloud directory, and all you need to do now is connect to the server IP address /nextcloud, and you'll be greeted with a create admin user account username and password, and you'll select the location for your data store, and you'll be filling in the database user, database password, and database name. And once you do that, you can install recommended apps, calendar, context, talk, mail, and collaborative editing, and you can press finish setup. So the database user and password we've already created earlier on, and then you're greeted with Nextcloud. So everything is working hunky-dory up until that point. So when you log in, you'll be faced with a dashboard, and up at the top, you've got files, photos, activity, talk, mail, contacts, and calendar. And under your icon on the top right hand side, you have settings, and these are the settings for both you personally and because you're an administrator, you as an administrator. Under on the top right hand corner under your profile name, you will also have users. So this is where I went in and created a user for myself, and I made that user admin. So I then have two admins. I then created additional users for everybody in the house, and that was pretty much that for now. Then going back into profile and settings, I went to the left-hand side. There's an administration overview section, and what that does is it checks your system for security issues, and if you had any updates, this is where you would find them. One of the main issues that it was complaining about was the lack of an SSL certificate, or TLS to be more correct. This is the thing that gives you the HTTPS in internet traffic. What it does is it encrypts traffic between you and the websites using root certificates that have been distributed, are well known and have been distributed onto your operating system by whoever it is that you're running, be it Linux, Windows, Mac, or Android. So that actually means that as my client base, I don't own all the devices. Some of them are school laptops and some of them are work laptops from my wife. I don't have access to put my own self-signed root certificate on there. So that is not the way to go. The obvious answer is to use a Let's Encrypt certificate. Now, Let's Encrypt allows you to put an SSL cert on your website, and they have an update script that runs on your own website that sends a challenge that requests a new certificate and requests updates to the certificate. And there requires two-way interaction, either over HTTP or over DNS, where they can verify that both parties are who they say they are when requesting this certificate. Unfortunately, as I'm behind a firewall, remember I said I was making it more difficult for myself, this is not going to be a possibility for me. However, there was a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, because I saw that there was the option to renew your certificates using a DNS challenge. And what that meant was that instead of putting something on port 80, if you didn't have access to port 80, you could in fact do it using a special TXT entry in your underscore acme-challenge dot, and then the path to your domain. So what that would do is, during the certification process, you would request your cert, and Let's Encrypt would tell you, okay, in order to prove that you're this, you own the domain that you own, I want you to put this key into that text field. Once you do that, you go on to the next part, and then it will verify that. So there's then, having verified that you at least own the DNS for that domain, therefore you own the domain, then both parties know and trust each other. So this turned out to be the best option for me, at least, because I do have access to DNS for the domains that I'm running. I didn't want to be running this website out on public, but I do have access to the DNS. So I installed a thing called CertBot, which is provided to generate Let's Encrypt certificates. And I ran that with the cert only dash dash manual space dash dash preferred dash challenges is DNS. And I needed to add an email address. I read the terms and conditions, which aren't too bad. I agreed to it. I then decided whether I want the EFF to be able to spam me or not. And then I told them the domain name where I was going to challenge. So for example, nextcloud.example.com. And I had to verify that my IP address is going to be publicly logged, which is kind of important. And then it told me that I needed to deploy a DNS text record with the following name, underscore acme-challenge.nextcloud.example.com, which I did. And I pasted in the key that they gave me. And then once I had that done, I could press enter. And once I had that done, he said, congratulations, here are your certificates. They're in etc Let's Encrypt live nextcloud.example.com/fullchain.pem. And the key file was at privkey.pem. And your cert's going to expire in 3 months. Now, unfortunately, there's no way to auto-renew that. So I'm just going to set up a Nextcloud reminder that in 3 months I will delete the certificate and then run through the exact same process again. And I can delete it by doing certbot space certificates will show me the certs, and certbot space delete will allow me to delete the certificates, and it'll ask me which one I want to delete, and I'll do that. And then I'll just rerun through the process again, and I'll need to add that text file. In order to verify it, I typed dig space dash T for the type, capital letters TXT, space, and the domain name underscore acme challenge dot nextcloud dot example.com. And then I get the section, and in the answer section I get back the acme thing with time to live and the key. And it's probably useful to do that before you press yes on the previous tool, just to make sure that everything works okay. So then in the Apache setup, it was incredibly difficult to find instructions on how to set it up. Either it was on a Fisher-Price toy level or on a degree in molecular physics level. There didn't seem to be anything in between about how to set up your own certificates. I did find on LinuxEyes where they used a Let's Encrypt certificate the guts of what I needed. In addition, the wiki on Mozilla pointed me to the SSL-config editor, which gives the recommended settings for an SSL cert on Apache. So that was handy because at least I knew what settings I needed. And the Linux Eyes post allowed me to know where I needed to put them. So I needed to put a rewrite rule in the default.conf, and I needed to put the SSL certificate file just pointed directly to the Let's Encrypt Live path that I got, and the SSL certificate key file in Let's Encrypt Live that I got earlier from that tool. I was then able to change protocol to HTTP2 in there as well, the other recommendations. So when I tested it using OpenSSL S under client, like the key will be in the, or the description will be in the show notes, it showed that there was an error, that there was no certificate installed, the handshake didn't work, it basically didn't work. And after several hours of beating my head against the wall, I did Apache 2 control restart. So not system control, Apache 2 restart, Apache 2 control restart, right? Different command. And that did the business, that reloaded the certificate for me. So everything worked perfectly, except it didn't. What that did was it got rid of the SSL error when I was browsing here locally on my machine to this device. So now Nextcloud was saying everything was okay. As I said before, I wanted this server to be internal. So I had a non-routable private IP address in the 192.168 range assigned to my nextcloud.example.com domain name. So try as I might, I was not able to get DNS to resolve internally on my own network. And the reason for that is because DNS rebinding is an attack that's used to take a domain name and then put private IP addresses in it so that you can access information. You can trick people into accessing internal company websites and redirecting the information out to an external website. So that's blocked by default on my router. You can go into your DHCP settings and go look for rebind protection or discard upstream RFC 1918 responses. And in there, I was able to do that on my two firewalls. And I found that I was able to use to disable it just for one domain name, which is what I did. So I added an exclusion for nextcloud.example.com. And then from that moment on, I was able to access my, I was able to resolve the IP address, the internal IP address from an external DNS hostname. So to recap, what we have at the moment is we have our Raspberry Pi running Apache, PHP, MySQL, or sorry, MariaDB, the alternative version for MySQL. Running Nextcloud, everything's up to date. Everything's now running on SSL. If you do a resolve my hostname externally, you'll get the internal IP address. If you're internally, you can then directly access the site. But if you're external, say you're in school or something, and you want to be able to check your agenda, then you're going to run into a problem. And the solution to that problem is to install WireGuard. I hope to be able to refer you to Cleavey's excellent show on WireGuard if he posts it. I've already got the text. I just need to hear the audio. But I took the short way out and I used the pyvpn.io script, which also supports WireGuard, and followed the steps through in that. I needed to open one port on my ISP's router to allow access to the server. And then it was as simple as I had the command pyvpn on my Raspberry Pi. And when I went pyvpn add, I added my phone, I added all the kids' phones, my wife's phones. Each of us have our own peer-to-peer setup. Then I installed it on FDroid and hit the plus sign on my phone, pointed it at, brought up the QR code using pyvpn-qr, pressed the QR code button on the WireGuard application, and that was it. It simply worked from then on. I got an IP address and a direct connection in. So now everything is working. Within Nextcloud itself, I created a new contact. I created a generic account for the house, and there I imported all the contacts that are shared among everybody, the aunts and the uncles and the cousins, etc. I grouped them in there, and then under that settings, you will get a contacts. So I renamed that using the three button mouse. I renamed it to house_contacts. Then I clicked the share button and I added the family group, which I had created earlier for the grouping of everybody on this account. In the calendar section, I renamed the house calendar to house calendar, no surprise, from calendar to house_calendar. And then I shared that as well with the family. So then I logged in as each of the people in my family, and I renamed their calendars and their contacts to with their first name. So Ken's_calendar, Ken's_contacts. So it makes it just a little bit more simple to know what's going on. So then the idea is that everybody has access to the shared calendar, but they've also got their own calendar. Everybody's got access to the shared contacts, but they've also got their own contacts, and the same for tasks. So once that was done, I was quite happy with that. I then installed Nextcloud, a link in the show notes to where it is on the F-Droid. Then installed DavX, which is a DavX 5 CalDav CardCal synchronization and client. Open tasks to keep track of your tasks and goals, and WireGuard as well on each of their machines. So once I set up Nextcloud, I created an account for them, made sure that they had access to the house shared files. I also shared the files for the house, and there I keep the latest version of the proprietary apps that I download on one phone that's got a connection to Google Play. I then using APK extractor to extract those and put them onto the latest apps folder, which is shared to everybody, so you can download WhatsApp, for example, from there and run it. I've got the latest maps there where the OpenStreetMap files are available. I set up the application to on this device auto upload from their folders, so any photos that they make, any screenshots that they take, are automatically uploaded. So that's within the Nextcloud application itself. The DavX one is where the majority of the fun actually occurs. So I created an account in there as well for each of the people. And then you go refresh address book list. It'll pull down the addresses. So you'll get house contacts. In my case, Ken's_contacts. Under CalDav, I'll get the house calendar and my own calendar, as well as the contacts for the birthdays. So at this point, we now have phones that are available, that when I turn off my Wi-Fi and I turn on roaming, or I go to another place, if that were possible in these lockdown times, I would then be able to access my calendar on all these devices. I also now have, anytime they take a photo, or that's automatically synced up as well, I'm able to, if they want some music from the NAS, I'm able to put that into their folder and they're able to pull that down. So theoretically, there should be no information on the phone itself. It's a standard lineage install, and now all the information is stored on the Nextcloud up here, which yet I need to back up. One last thing that I wanted to do was, now that we all have a shared calendar, I wanted to add this to my magic mirror, and with the help of Dave, I was able to do that by adding a calendar section. He covered that in his show, which was episode 3039, Making a Raspberry Pi Status Display. So what I did was I modified the calendar section there. Now, I had some problems trying to find out how to export an iCal from the calendar. And the solution that I found was, if you go into the Nextcloud section, in the case of, so I'm logging in as the house here and going to the house calendar under the calendar section, and then I go on the menu bar, copy private link. So that copy private link will bring you to the web page. So it'll give you a personal personal calendar shared by blah, blah, blah. If you put a question mark and export behind that, that will take that calendar and convert it to an ICS file. And what I was able to do was use wget to pull down that file. And thanks to a trick from Dave, I saved that into Magic Mirror modules, and I created a directory called .calendars, and I saved it in there. So I've got the home calendar going in there, and I've got the birthday calendars going in there. So then I wrote a cron job that runs every 15 minutes, that runs a bash file, and that will go use wget quietly, get saves the document to the .calendars folder as a temp file, and then it'll use the dash s to check to see if the file exists and it's not empty. If both of those conditions are met, it'll overwrite the old one with the new one by renaming the file from temp to regular ICS. And it does that for both of them. And the last piece of the puzzle was thanks to Dave, and he pointed out that he was able to load calendars locally without having to use a external URL. For example, Hacker Public Radio calendar settings has got the name HPR Community News Recordings. The URL has got http://hacker.radio.org/hpr_community_news_schedule.ics, and he used the little trick of localhost:8080modules.calendars/home_calendar.ics, and that displays my family calendar, and it's got a symbol calendar check and the color. And I do the same thing for the other calendars, the birthday calendar, and I also downloaded the recycling calendar schedule as well. So that worked out quite well. One thing I did notice that was when I created a special account for the Magic Mirror so that it didn't have read and write access to these calendars, I noticed that the birthday calendar sync didn't work out. So in order to fix that, I went into var wwhtml nextcloud as root, did a sudo space dash u space www-data, then ran php space occ space dav colon sync dash birthday dash calendar, and then that said starting birthday calendar sync for all users, and that generated those birthday calendars. I think that's a task that runs overnight or at various different times. So after that mammoth show, I will call a halt and say thank you very much. Tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.